Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. January 18th? Come on, man, this is too fast. This is going way too fast for me. I don't know if I like this or not. I mean, we're talking, yesterday it was like September, and then, hello, it was August, I had my birthday there, and then, wow. Our apologies for last week. That was a good show. I had my original 13 listeners last week because the internet wasn't working. And I have 16 listeners now, and we couldn't start the show without all of them. One of them was a little bit late getting home, so I'm sorry. I apologize for starting a few minutes late, but I had to get my 16th listener on the show. Without that person, the show's no fun. I mean, we're all for one and one for all, right? We're the 16 Musketeers at BBSRadio.com. I want to make sure everybody's coming. I want all 16 of you next week to come and visit Don and myself. And I'm going to play music. Oh, yeah, you guys can pay me to not play. And by the way, I just want to tell you, we had Stanton Friedman on my show a while back, and tonight as we speak, he's live on Larry King, so I'll probably lose 3 listeners because they're doing the UFO thing over there. And it's all about Texas. And I'm going to talk about UFO stuff tonight, too. Oh, ho, ho. Now, a lot of my stuff is in a new book, by the way, that I talked about on UFOs. The book is called UFOs and the Alien Agenda by Maximilian D. Lafitte. You can get it on Amazon. It's a big, thick book, and a lot of my experiences are in there. And some other ones that I reported to different people that other of my friends were involved with. I want to apologize for not having our guest tonight, but here's the thing. There's too many opportunists. And when they find out what the show's all about and people come on, you know, this person was supposed to be an astrologer and predicting all the stuff about presidents and blah, 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 because she had a few books out. I won't mention any names, but several books were out. And we thought we had a really good person here, but then when we started emailing back and forth, I need to talk to, you know, interview the person at least for 5 minutes before they go on my show to see if I like their vibe or they like me. That person didn't respond. And then the person's husband sent a bunch of pictures, which I didn't put up. So I began to see it as a hype. You know, this happens a lot. People like to get on Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. So then they decided to change the date, and as soon as they change the date, that means they'll not ever be on BBS Radio, because, you know, changing a date when you're a few days away from a show just doesn't work. That's the kind of stuff that hosts have to deal with. We all have to deal with it, so it's no big deal. Hi, Dominic. I see you've checked in there. So anyway, I want to read something to you out of my new book coming. I got so much stuff going on with this crazy book. It actually is being written now. Every day something gets. But I want to, and we'll have an open line here in a little bit, not yet. So anyway, this is a little comparison. A person emailed me this, and I decided to put it in my book. I'm going to read it to you now. Talking about schools. And as you know, out there, I have had people from Columbine. One guy, Mark Taylor, was actually shot 12 times by Eric Harris. I've got another girl that wants to come on. She's set up to come on once we have some more. I don't want to bring Columbine people on until, you know, some activity happens, and then we'll bring them on. So I've got more guests, including Mark Taylor, to come back on. But along in those lines, you know, I've been out to these schools. I've interviewed people. I've talked to people. I've had them on my shows, and I've been doing this long before BBS Radio. I went all the way back to 79 when, or 69, 89, when the first shootings took place. So anyway, I want to read something. When I went to school, scenario A was probably what was in place. But this is some really interesting stuff. This is a school scenario comparison from 1957 to 2007 and updating it 2008. These are scenarios, okay? Down in Arkansas, we used to quail hunt. I don't shoot animals, I don't even eat them anymore, but when I was a young kid, I did do quail hunting because I didn't know any better. You know, I was an idiot, brought up in this, you know, redneck way, and then as soon as I realized you don't kill people or animals, then I quit hunting. But anyway, I could just see myself in Pleasant Plains, in Arkansas, north of Little Rock, 75 miles. Scenario, Jack goes quail hunting before school. Pulls into the school parking lot with a shotgun in the gun rack. Okay? The vice principal comes over and looks at Jack's shotgun, goes to his car and gets his shotgun to show Jack. So they're comparing shotguns. In Arkansas, a lot of kids had 22s and shotguns, usually 410s, hanging in a rack behind, behind the window in your pickup truck. 2007, okay? Same scenario. School goes into lockdown. FBI called. Jack hauled off to jail and never sees his truck or gun again. Counselors call in for traumatized students and teachers. The difference. Next one. Jack and Mark get into a fist fight after school. Now, when I was a kid, you know, it was no big deal, you know, if you mouthed off behind somebody's back and you got caught, you got busted, you could go out behind the barn and take care of it. I mean, that's how it went. And so there wasn't a lot of mouthing off behind the back because kids knew that we'd take care of it. So here's the scenario. Donnie and Mark get into a fist fight after school. Crowd gathers. Mark wins. Donnie and Mark shake hands like we always did, you know, and end up buddies. 2007, same scenario. Police called. SWAT team arrived. Arrest Johnny and Mark. Charge them with assault. Both expelled even though Johnny started it. What a difference. Next scenario. This is one that I've totally been involved with, too, because of my work with the Wilton school system and a bunch of other school systems. Jeffrey won't be still in class. Disputes other students. Disrupts other students. 1957. Jeffrey sent to the office, given a good paddling by the principal, returns to class, sits still, and does not disrupt class again. And I was guilty of a few of those paddlings, and it mellowed me out. It really made me feel good that I had one of those things. They weren't dangerous. Okay. Now, in 2007, Jeffrey, given huge doses of Ritalin, becomes a zombie, tested for ADD. School gets extra money from the state because Jeffrey has a disability. Isn't that a crock? Here's the next one now. Scenario. Billy breaks a window in his neighbor's car, and his dad gives him a whipping with his belt. Now, I had a lot of those, my stepfather. My dad never would do that. My stepfather gave me a few. 1957. Billy is more careful. Next time, grows up normal, goes to college, and becomes a successful businessman. Okay, now 2007. Billy's dad is arrested for child abuse. Billy removed to foster care and joins a gang. State psychologist tells Billy's sister that she remembers being abused herself, and their dad goes to prison. Billy's mom has an affair with a psychologist. Now that makes sense. Next one. Mark gets a headache and takes some aspirin in school. 1957. Mark shares aspirin with principal out on the smoking dock. 2007. Police called. Mark expelled for school for drug violation. Car searched for drugs and weapons. Scenario. We're getting closer to L.A. now, as you can tell. Pedro fails high school English. Pedro goes to summer school, passes English, goes to college. That's 1957. He went to summer school, right? 2007. I love this one. Pedro's case is taken up by the state. Newspaper articles appear nationally explaining that teaching English is a requirement for graduation is racist. ACLU class action lawsuit against state school systems and Pedro's English teacher. English banned from course curriculum. Pedro given diploma anyway, but ends up mowing lawns for a living because he cannot speak English. That is so true of L.A. now. And we're getting down to the last two. I know they're boring. It's like the top 10 on David Letterman, I know. Scenario. Johnny takes apart leftover firecrackers. Boy, I used to do this. From the 4th of July, puts them in a model airplane paint bottle and blows up a red ant bed. 1957. Ants die. Okay, ants die, right? I'd be so in jail for what I used to do. 2007, okay, BATF, Homeland Security, FBI called. Johnny charged with domestic terrorism. FBI investigates parents, siblings removed from home, computers confiscated. Johnny's dad goes on a terror watch list and is never allowed to fly again. It's America. The last one now. I know this is boring. Johnny falls while running during recess and scrapes his knee. I used to do that all the time, too. He is found crying by his teacher, Mary. Well, I didn't cry much. I used to swear at myself. So there's a difference. 1957. In a short time, Johnny feels better and goes on playing. 2007. Mary, his teacher, is accused of being a sexual predator, loses her job. She faces 3 years in state prison. Johnny undergoes 5 years of therapy. Amen. That's where our country is now. That's where it's at. It's amazing, isn't it? So now, we have open topics at BBS Radio. So if you want to call in and talk to Dr. Fred, well, that'd be cool. You need to talk a little bit. I'm actually starting to enjoy this more than having guests on, but no, I'm going to have lots of exciting guests on. So anyway, numbers. Toll free, 1-888-228-4494 or 877-489-6350. And the direct line is 530-776-5154. So just call in any time and we'll talk. Otherwise, I'm going to ramble on like I always do, which is fun. And I hope we have more listeners. I'm sorry about last week. Now, I recommend some books that you guys read. And the one that I've really gotten into here is this one by Maximilien de Lafitte. And it talks about a lot of underground stuff. There's a lot of bases that it covers. And it's interesting because when I went up to Sean Morton a few years ago to Salty, New Mexico to hang out with my friends with the Jicarilla Indians, that's in this book. It doesn't actually have my name mentioned, but I was the one that organized that. It talks about Jim Delatoso and the doing the ultrasounding, and we had the 400 cycle per second underground caverns. I was really surprised how big the underground facility was, but there's some people in this book that have described, you know, the size of the underground facilities and that. By the way, any of you have out there seen a UFO, give me a call. Talk about it. And the other thing is, it starts off, I guess there's like, I guess I have volume, I don't know what I have, volume something here, but he's got several other volume. And one of them is Zeta Reticuli to Earth. And it's well covered in here with the Eisenhower negotiations back in the 50s when he came out here and tried to make a deal with the Greys. Evidently the Greys nixed the deal because they didn't really want to get involved. It also talks about 10 or 12 alien races and where they came from. And a lot of it sort of agrees with what I've learned, and a lot of it, I think Billy Meyer did a big treatise on these different, like, Draconians and Sirians from Sirius B and Reptilians and all of that stuff. It's in this book. Looking at all those races, there's a lot of very accurate information in here. It really is. I probably should have this person on my show. And it's kind of fun. Some of the other stuff... influences, English people, you know, the Foo Fighters. It's a very well thought out disclosure project. So that's another one. I was working with Stephen Greer on that just before 9/11. Maybe 9/11 was partially a diversion. We were dealing with Congress, and there's a tremendous article in here with about James Wolseley and President Clinton and everybody that happened just before 9/11 and where we were going with this. It was really interesting. So I recommend that you get this book because it really lays out the foundation. It's a very believable reverse engineering in Area 51. So many good things in here. So I guess it's book review time. You want to get this book, a big book, almost as big as my Razor Truth book. Same size, but it's not quite as thick. I think I'm about a half inch thicker. This is probably a 3.5 pounder, maybe 4 pounder, and I'm a 5.5 pounder. Maximilian D. Lafitte, Aliens and the Alien Agenda, Amazon.com. Very good book.
Put it down now.
So here we are. I haven't had a chance to check everything that's going on in the chat room. We got the live chat if you want to send some questions. That's pretty good, too. Oh, by the way, I want to make sure that all of you come next weekend. I forgot to start into that and didn't finish it. Next weekend, I'll be playing some music, as I said earlier. I get paid not to play sometimes. But what we're going to do is we're going to do Pleiadian sound. I have these special synthesizers, and we have a very high-end sound system that we're going to use up there. And we're going to be in Woodland Hills at the Marriott. And it's in the Warner Brothers Center, so it's surrounded by the glitz of Hollywood, West L.A. And there's if you don't want to stay in that one, you want to spend a little less money, there's a Hilton right around the corner. But we're going to have some amazing people at that show. I actually should have brought some of them on tonight. I thought about it, but now if I show up there, Don Newsom's coming down, and we're going to have a live broadcast CBS radio booth, and then we're going to have a three-dimensional. We have a 3D show that we do where, like 100 feet away is where the screen is. But when we play the music and do the live stuff, 3D images, we have these glasses. We give you these glasses when you come to these shows that we do. So you put these 3D glasses on, and then when the show plays, the music plays, these images come right out to you. And some of the technology that I'm going to use, I'm using in the X1 healing machine, which I haven't talked about that much, because it's a little ways off from being a reality yet. So anyway, we're going to put some lasers in. We got that going on. And I'm doing a couple of lectures. I think on Sunday I've got one. Sunday morning I'm a keynote speaker. Nice lecture with a video presentation. And then Monday afternoon I do a big seminar for everybody, about 3 hours, where we really go into the stuff way deeper than we can go on the radio because I have all the visuals. We go into the receptors or anything like that, receptors, projectors. So it's a lot of fun. Do all the stuff that we do. It's really getting interesting more and more. And I just let the universe kind of push this thing along and take it one step at a time. So I hope everyone's having a good new year. Fun watching the election. Election is really interesting coming along. Fun watching Barack Obama because The more he gets votes, the more his ego. I think he'll strut feathers here soon, He might be a really cool guy. He reminds me too much of myself. By the way, he's a Leo. He's August 4th, and I'm August 10th. So I guess Barack Obama and I both are basket cases. Anyhow, is there a call around there? I couldn't tell. I heard a noise. Is there a call? Are you a caller calling in?
Yeah.
Who am I talking to?
Pam.
And where are you?
Texas.
How's everything? Oh, you're down there with UFOs. How far are you away from the UFO thing?
About 6 hours.
Oh, wait. So
but they're around here. People just don't talk about them much.
Yeah. That's funny. So what's going on with you tonight?
Well, I just had a few questions.
Oh, go ahead.
About receptors and projectors. The first question is, you said one time that you didn't wear your receptor and projector at the same time. And I was wondering why.
Okay. The receptor is a different, it's a device that works directly with the DNA.
Yes.
And the projector does not work with the DNA. It works with what creates the DNA. Does that make sense? In other words, string theory, if you're a physicist. And what creates the DNA is something smaller, something much smaller than an atom. An atom would be gigantic. You could make an atom the size of the sun, and the the energy that works on the projector would be the size of a BB or a marble or something. That's the comparison size. So when you wear the projector, I mean receptor, it's working on respiling your DNA. Okay? In other words, we all live stressed, we've all had a hard life, or, you know, even if we've had a good life, it's been hard. It's from the environment itself. And so what happens is, there's a lot of holes in our bodies, you know, different chakras, different organs, different endocrine glands aren't functioning properly. So the receptor fixes that. We muscle test you, and then you end up, you know, wearing the receptor. The receptor then goes into your the calling card of the DNA, which occurs occasionally when all the chromosomes are present, not every day, but most of the time, and reproduces cells with a certain frequency. When you wear the receptor, what happens is that reproduction is in concert like it should be. It's not being influenced by, you know, automobile exhaust, crowd noise, buses, airplanes flying over, electronic things. In other words, the receptor is, the way we quantify that, is the receptor is a scalar wave quantum transforming device. Okay, that's what it is. The projector is a quantum entanglement device. So, what does that mean? Well, this means this. When you get down to the projector starts at that little marble. And instead of going forward into the third dimension that we live in, it goes backwards into creation and time. And so therefore it becomes timeless and infinite energy and infinite ability to bond with other things that have always existed. In other words, the time field is taken away. Because the receptor is working in time and the projector is working out of time. The projector would be a Pleiadian device, and I'm sorry, the receptor would be a Pleiadian device, and the projector would be an Andromedan device. There's no time. So it unwinds your DNA into the fourth dimension. But it doesn't mean that it's creating an aging problem when it despirals or unwinds. What it's doing is it's going directly into string theory. And when, you know, physicists today are looking to the energies below the particles, you know, the smallest particle, then there's some energy, and it's kind of a ribbon-like energy. It's kind of like strings floating around that intertwine upon one another, and very, very small, very, very small, 10 to the minus maybe 50 or something like that, horribly small. So anyway, that's the basic stuff. So when you start using the projector, you're starting to play around with the quantum field. So anything that you've ever had contact with in your entire existence, not just this life, you can touch. There's lots of things that you can't touch, but things you can touch, you can use those things to find the things that you can't touch. And that's kind of the way they work. And so when you start entangling with something, you know, the simplest, you know, expression that I give is the phone rings, you know who's calling. That's quantum entanglement with a caller. That's very simple. A more complicated version of it is remote viewing, you know, quantum entanglement with a missing thing, person, whatever. Okay, so the receptor has nothing to do with that. The receptor works on scalar waves, and that's why when you put a pyramid on your head, normally you'll test stronger than you normally would. Turn it upside down, you'll test weak. That's the scalar wave, the differential, which creates a rhythm in the chi force, which brings the kundalini energy up. So it's really powerful. You launch yourself, basically, and get yourself set up, you know, with the receptor. And then when you put the projector on, you got the target, and you aim yourself, and you focus and send the energy out. Does that help you any or not?
Yes, very much. Now,
go ahead and ask other questions. I mean, I'm bouncing. It's all in my new book, but I'm, you know, I have to work with people to understand what I understand, because I understand it, and someone else doesn't do a hill of beans for this planet, you know.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I was thinking it was something like that, but I didn't want to just presume. And then I wanted to know, my projector used to get receptor used to get real heavy.
Yeah, it's getting radioactive. You got to wash it in water.
Well, I did. I mean, I do. But yeah. It doesn't get near as heavy as it used to, like at the end of the day.
Right.
So does that mean...
Yeah, that's a good thing. Now, what you're telling me, let me repeat this. Before, when it got radioactive, it was quite heavy, and you washed it.
Yes, I washed it.
And you felt it very heavy on you.
Yes, very heavy. And then when I washed it, it was, oh, I wouldn't say half as light, but light enough you could tell.
Yeah, okay. And now you're saying it doesn't get as heavy anymore.
No. In fact, you know, I haven't done it, but I could probably wear it 3 or 4 days and it would be heavy like it was in one day.
Okay, now, do you have any idea why that is?
Well, I was wondering if maybe it was cleaning me out at first or something.
Yeah, that's very good. That's excellent. You get an A for that. And what level is it cleaning you out at?
Well, it felt like a pretty high level, as heavy as it got. I mean...
Okay, what's happening scientifically? I won't, you know, my version of God and yours may be the same or different. I won't go there, but scientifically what happens is when you wear the receptor like you have and you diligently get the radiation, you detox your body of radiation. Then what happens is the electric field that's created, it's a synaptic point in your brain, okay, that makes you think and feel and blah, 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 are speeding up. And so when they speed up, the electrolytes in your brain are increasing, so the electronic field around your body becomes much bigger than it was before you put it on. Part of the healing process. Obviously, if you're healing up, your aura is going to get bigger. You follow me?
Yeah.
Okay, so then what happens is that when your aura was weak like it was when you started, you know, radiation is a free, could be a beta particle, it could be a gamma ray. It's basically when it hits you, it creates an electromagnetic field that's not in frequency or harmony with the life force and brings you down to the point where it can create a free radical, which then can become cancerous. That's how it normally works. You follow me?
Yes.
But when you wear the receptor after a period of time and your organs have gone through a reproductive cycle with a higher frequency instead of a lower frequency driving them, so their octave levels come up, the aura is now bigger than it was, and it's more solid, and so it creates what's called auric offset. So if a gamma ray hits you or a beta particle hits you, alpha particles, they're stopped by the, you know, protons, they're stopped by the clothes. Beta particles are electrons, and then gamma rays come from outer space and everywhere else. If they hit you, instead of bumping into your body, they just become part of your field, and you process it.
Oh.
You follow what I'm saying? So as they become part of your field, you become immune to their energy. You follow me?
Yes, I do.
It's a natural process. It's the beauty of this stuff. It's Pleiadian stuff. I didn't know all of this. The Pleiadians taught me this. It's amazing. And that's what they do. I mean, that's absolutely what they do. And pretty soon, you can handle a huge amount of radiation and not have a problem. Enough probably would put somebody to death, and you can still handle it. I wouldn't recommend it because you got to build up to that point. But the bottom line is, with the ambient radiation levels rising from the water, and you know the ozone layer depletion, radiation infrared is ultraviolet is higher. You know, who cares about ultraviolet? Pyramids in that receptor will bounce ultraviolet off, you know, like water off a duck's back once you've worn it for a couple of months. That's what you're getting now, so you don't feel it anymore. But you still got to wash it because it's going deeper and deeper now.
I mean, start working
on other levels, but be sure and wash it in the same frequency. I mean, just because you can go 3 days, wash it one day.
No, I didn't do it. I just thought if I did go 3 days, it would be heavy like it was at first.
Yeah.
In one day, but I didn't do it because I thought it was not a good idea.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
But somebody said, well, maybe it's wearing out. And I said, no, I don't think that's it.
It's
working.
You know what? You know, if you analyze a statement like that, wearing out, that person's describing their life experience.
you're correct about that. I thought it was hilarious. The person that said it is one of those, well, I call them cabbages.
Yeah.
But
yeah, God bless them. They just don't know any better. They grew up in the old school, and the old school is not here anymore.
I said, I'll find out what it is doing, and I'm sure it's not wearing out, but I'll find out because I want you to know what it is doing. I knew it was doing something, you know, different.
I love it. It's wearing out.
Yeah, wearing out. Well, it's...
I got to put that in my book. It's a classic.
Well, since it's not getting heavier, maybe it's just not working anymore. It's just worn out. I said, no, that's not it.
Worn out. The battery went dead.
Now, the third question I had was about the stones. Like, the way I get my answers is not usually the traditional way. And I got the information several times that the next stone I needed to get when it was time was the heart chakra stone, but I don't know which one that is.
Yeah, that's the blue one. That's the sapphire.
Okay. I knew it was blue, but there was more than one blue up there.
Yeah.
Well, okay now.
So what do you want to know?
That's enough.
That's it.
You did really good answering my questions. I understood everything you told me.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you. Now somebody else can...
if somebody else can call in, I'm going to answer. While that's happening, I'm going to answer a few questions. Richard says, is there a connection between the harp and the weather changes of late? And if you go into my... website on BBS Radio, I did the Hurricane Katrina and how HARP worked with that. A complete set of pictures and videos and stuff on that. Is there another call or not? It's not. So anyway, there is definitely a connection between HARP and the weather changes. And the other thing that's going on right now, especially in California, is it's windy here all the time and it's dry, windy and dry. And when you have the greenhouse effect, you always will have upsetting the greenhouse effect because, yeah, it's warming up. But the bottom line is, in order for something to warm up, the extremes have to increase. So it's hotter, colder, wetter, drier, windier, not windier. And so all the areas that had one experience for a long time now have somebody else's. The whole thing shifted. And that has to do with the trade winds. Changing and a lot of other stuff that's been done by HARP. I remember a few years ago out at Los Alamos, NSA was, when we were doing some experiment, I wasn't part of this, but I knew this experiment. It took a 1 billion watt, 980 nanometer laser and shot it up into space. Well, you wouldn't see it. You wouldn't see the beam, but, Now, caller, go ahead.
Hello, Dr. Fred.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Tim Gloss in St. Louis. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, man?
Hey, I can't complain. Hey, I had a question I wanted to ask you about some crystals.
Go ahead.
Okay, I got a crystal from the Coleman mine, if that makes any sense to you.
Coleman's are my buddies, Jimmy and Ron.
I got one. The guy told me it's from Blockerlead. Does that make any sense to you, the Blockerlead mine or anything?
I think that was one that they leased from the Forestry Service.
Yeah,
so what kind of crystal is it?
I got it. Stands up upright. It's pretty neat.
Oh, cool. How big? How much does it weigh?
That weighs about 18 pounds.
Oh, that's a nice little point.
Yeah, it does have a point. So I could use that as a master crystal, or should I...
But it's not enough mass to do it as a master crystal, but you can use it for an amplifier.
An amplifier?
How you get a master crystal, use it as a storage crystal.
A storage crystal?
Yeah. Do you have a system?
I have just your pyramid right now that I sleep under.
Oh, okay. Well, you got a ways to go yet.
Yeah, and I have a projector.
The next thing I would get if I were you is you want to hook up the scalar wave to the pyramid, so you want to get yourself a mega orb and a radiator.
A mega orb and a radiator?
Yeah, and then set that up with a small power supply. About a 6 foot, it's not a very big item, but it's about 6 feet tall. And you place it at the foot of your bed, and then you put pictures in the bottom of it, and you dream about them. You write stuff on a piece of paper where you want to go, and you'll go there. It's called the self-help system. You got my book, Rays of Truth?
Yeah, I do. I've read it through twice. I like it a lot.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's in there. It's called the self-help system. And
right.
And get it. You have a star orb yet?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you need to get one of those. Those aren't that expensive. Get that next, because you're going to kick up some negative energy, and that'll process it. And it'll also pick up all the ELF out of your refrigerator and, in your house and everything, and so your food will last a lot longer and all that when you hook it up together.
Now, as far as wearing the receptor, does that help on the ELF waves and sort of things like that?
Yeah, while you're wearing it, definitely, totally.
Right.
That's what we were just talking about. It helps a lot. It helps with hard radiation, gamma, alpha, and beta rays, but the thing is, you got to wash it off. You have a silver one or what?
Yeah, I have a silver one and a silver projector. I like them both.
Yeah, the projector is cool. Yeah,
I wear the like you said. He said to wear the
one or the other. I mean, you can wear them both, but I can't wear them both.
Yeah, I wear them both. Sometimes I don't know if it's too much for me or not, but I get a kick out of
it. It's not too much. It's just your body doesn't know where to go. You know, if you're healing, look at it this way, if you're healing, your body is healing itself. It's creating a healing situation, and your body is healing. Now, all of a sudden, your neighbor drives up in his brand-new convertible, some hot girl or guy or whatever, and you take off with him in the ozone. You don't want to think about the healing process. You want to go off and hang out. And that's what the projector is like, this ride, you know what I mean, through space and time, where the receptor is just sitting there healing your body, making you feel better, but it's not taking you anywhere.
Uh-huh.
So you want to take the doctor, whether you're on a fishing trip or you want to go alone, you know? That's
right.
Kind of how I look at it. It's the best way to explain it. Does that help you any?
Yeah, it helped a lot. And I just want to ask one more question about a master crystal. How big do you recommend? You said about 50
pounds.
Well,
what we found is, what we have found is about 40 pounds up works as a grandfather. And this is not my terminology. This is Indians and a lot of people. It works as a grandfather crystal, master crystal. You know, it just has something about that much mass, because remember the crystal is a perfect synthesis of spirit and matter in zero time. So what's happening is, when you have one, it's growing with the Akashic record. And somehow or other, if they're growing and they're too small, they're so busy growing that they don't pay attention to anything else. It's like riding a colt, you know, a young horse. It's not big enough because it's eating, but when it's older, it can be a big horse, still stop and graze a little bit, and you can ride it. So it's kind of like that scenario with a master crystal, if you can understand what I'm saying there.
Let me ask you one more question as far as clarity. Does clarity have anything to do with
it? No, it really doesn't. I'll tell you why, because a lot of people get them with no clarity at all, and they end up clearing them, which is really cool.
Right, because my parents live in Arkansas, and a lot of times I'll go down and I see crystals some of the shop owners have, and I didn't know what to really look for in a master crystal.
Yeah, a single point. You know, something out of the Coleman mine, or, you know, the Colemans are about the only mines that ever mined the big points. The other guys down there, the Collier Creek and the Mack Earl, and all of them. Well, the Mack Earl has the master crystals, and those are pretty cheap. I actually have one I probably sell pretty cheap, the Mack Earl. But they're not pretty. The Mack Earl crystals, the small ones, were beautiful. They're the most expensive things on the planet for crystals, but the big crystals that came out of there, look, these big white things, and they have these big round spots on them, you know?
Yeah, I've seen some of those Mack Earls. There's a jeweler I know down in Eureka Springs. His name is Bo, was showing me some out of the Mack Earls.
The real clear ones?
Yeah, beautiful stuff.
Yeah, how much is he selling them for a pound, did
he
say?
He's selling those. That's who I got my point from.
Yeah.
And
a good Mack Earl goes for about five. They sell it by the gram, you know,
right.
And so there's none, you know, there's none mine. They're all done, so... When I have some that are for collectors, but they go between about $2,500 and $5,000 a pound.
Right.
Yeah. As you probably heard that before, right?
Yeah. He's sort of schooled me a little bit on it, because what's his name, Ronnie Coleman? He says
Ron Coleman and Jimmy Coleman. Ron and Jimmy.
Yeah, because he said one of the Colemans came back to him before. He must have bought, like I say, I've got the one point from. He must have bought a big cluster from him at one time.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s or something, he told me.
That's back when stuff was cheaper.
Yeah.
Because you know what? The Coleman mine's pretty much done for anything. First, we ran out of master crystals about 6 years ago. And then we ran out of everything. I mean, I went down there in the summer and mined a little bit and got more out than they had all year. Just me doing it, you know.
I guess when they're digging it, he said it got damaged or something.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Normally, they don't get damaged.
I think that's how he ended up with the big, he had a big old cluster. I don't know.
Well, 200 or 300 pounds?
Yeah, it was a monster, and I just luckily got an 18-point point off it, so I'm not complaining. And it's pretty clear. I'm pretty happy with that, except for on the base, it's sort of, it's not clear, but it's no big deal to me.
How much did you pay for it?
I paid $1,100 for it.
Must be a pretty good piece, then.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece, and plus I got another chunk off it, too, it can't stand up right on its own. It just sort of lays there, but it weighs about 15 pounds, so. But it's another beautiful point, too.
Wow. I've got one here for sale. It's 50 pounds. It's straight up. It's polished, though. I got it from Jimmy. It's gorgeous.
Really?
It's a master crystal. So when you're ready to get something, just give me a call, and we'll get you into something. I've got some big master crystals, too. I mean, you know, 40, 50 pounders for a couple grand. I mean, they're real cheap, you know. They're nice, but it's not like I got one of the best ones I've ever... I've got a couple really cool ones. They're hard to find, you know. I've been pulling them out of Jimmy's cellar and friends of mine had bought stuff from them earlier, and they're good friends of mine. They were going to sell them. Well, I got them from them. So we still have master crystals, but you can't buy them. There's none in the mine. Or I'd be down there buying them all myself.
Right.
Yeah. But once you have one, they're great. But it sounds like you got one to keep you busy for a while.
Yeah, I tell you what, the first night I had it, I guess I had it too close to me because it kept me up all night long.
Yeah, they'll do it, you know. They'll do it.
I just wasn't used to it or something, but I really enjoy it. But no, I enjoyed your book, and I look forward to reading your new book.
Yeah, the new one's a real piece of work. I tell you what, I'm working on it. It's not like that one. They're all different. You know, this is the third of the big books, and they're all different. This one's way out there. I can't believe I'm writing some of the stuff I write.
One more question for you. One night I was just sitting in my hot tub just staring up, and I thought I definitely saw something, and I call it some kind of ship of some sort. But what it was, it was huge, but it was like three rings. And, I mean, from the distance, it was still far off, but it was huge, and it was like a green type of laser look. Have you ever heard of anything look like that, or you just think it's one of our...
The motherships that the Greys fly, that's funny, there was a picture of a Grey just flashed up on the Larry King show. I got the TV on in the background with the sound turned off. And the Greys ships are made out of a lot of beryllium. So when they enter the atmosphere sometimes, or they get shot at by our military, it releases a beryllium green flash.
Huh. Well, this was like there for almost a half an hour. It almost looked like it was just stuck, then all of a sudden it just like took off, gone. I mean, so fast I couldn't believe it. It was like here and then gone.
Well, how far away was it?
It had to be, you know, it's hard to judge at night, but I would say at least it would look like it was at least 2 miles, 3 miles up in the sky, if not higher, if not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and how big do you think it was?
Oh, I can't tell. That's what I'm confused. It was like, imagine three rings, you know, like connected, but you could see through them.
Yeah.
The center, but it was just the...
Were they horizontal or vertical?
It was vertical.
Interesting. So they were like wheels then, almost.
Yeah, it looked like that, but they were, like I say, they were all symmetric, you know, the same. It almost looked like the Apollo, the old Apollo bottoms, you know, the three boosters, you know?
Yeah.
And then, that's what confused me, and I was like, I didn't know if it was the military is just playing tricks or what it was, but it was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
But I just didn't know if it was like one of those space stations they have out there. And
well, no, you wouldn't be able to see it at 2 miles, you know. I mean, you wouldn't see it.
Yeah, and especially at night. But it was like three rings just glowing. It was the craziest thing I've ever
seen. Might have been a little bit farther away than you realize.
Yeah, I think, I mean, actually, you know, it could have been 20, 30 miles up there. And I mean, the thing was huge is what I'm trying to say. But I wish I could have took a picture of it, but you know how that goes. As soon as I'd run in for a camera, it would have been gone.
Yeah, Murphy's Law.
Right. But, well. Hey, it was a pleasure talking to you.
All right, Scott. Have a nice evening.
Have a great time.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Well, you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, offered worldwide at bbsradio.com. And also, of course, we're on Tantalk 1340 AM FM, internet and abovethegroundstations.com. So we're having a great time. I love to do open mic. It's more fun than having guests on because we get to talk. But guests are good too, you know. So just dealing with them, my God. Yeah. Every once, you know, it's like they got to pamper them sometimes, you know, depending on where they're coming. Some are pretty cool. Like David Icke, he's just there, you know. He comes on, he's just ready to go. So anyhow, who else have we got here that we're looking at? Anne. You mentioned the Amaro being printed. I wonder if that was, yeah, I guess, let's see if that was. I think that was a different show. Okay. I'm just looking at the fast chat. Yeah, the Amaros are printed already, in case you didn't know it. And they're obviously going to be coming out real soon, whether you want to accept that or not. And I'm just waiting for gold to go back down. I recommend that you get it down, wait till it goes down in the sevens, and then buy it there. The other day they said something about gold prices. Well, first of all, what is gold? Gold is not something that grows like quartz does here. It is not it's not created here. It was here when the Earth was formed. Gold comes from the hydrogen-helium reaction, one of the earlier parts of a nuclear explosion, actually a thermonuclear explosion. which creates the yellow liquid, the color of the sun. And so when the sun was creating cooling down, it blew off chunks, spinning chunks, which of course when solidified, making them round like they are. And gold was included in the package of the earth. So it's not something that grows or forms, so it just came from the sun. So because that the gold comes from the sun and not here, it's a, you know, it's a, I would say planetary metal. So obviously there's gold in other planets around here. It also, because it's a octahedral form, shape, has healing qualities, meaning that it allows your body to feel the life force. So people sense the life force, but of course people sense too much life force and they become greedy. And when they become greedy, they start hoarding, and when they hoard, the price goes up. And that's what's been going on. A lot of greedy hoarding. And pretty soon they'll realize that, and then the price settles down, and then the price drops. That's what happened back in, I think, 83, 84, when the pound and the American dollar were about even. Now, of course, the pound is 2-1 against the dollar. But that's only because most foreigners have a much longer attention span and realize this stuff, and the gimmicks that are played, you know, by the economists in our country here, they work quite well. They wouldn't work in Europe. Especially, you know, when I say that, I mean banks, Federal Reserve Board, those kind of things. Federal Reserve Board would not work in Europe, would not be accepted or tolerated, because people are smarter than that over there. Anyway, any more callers? We're just running down. We're winding down the show here in about 3 minutes. So we got time for one more caller. If not, we'll be looking forward to seeing you guys at our show in Los Angeles and give you an update on the next schedule. March will be in New York, the last weekend in March. April, in about the middle of the month, we're going to be in San Francisco for the New Living Expo. May, we're going to Florida for the New Life Expo. And then June we do our own seminar, and then July we'll be up at Mount Shasta with aliens and, you know, people from Lemurian stuff. I'll be doing with concerts, and we're going to have a lot of ships appear for that one. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And anything else? Let me see what else I've got to cover here before the day ends. Oh, another book I might recommend. Prime Element. Of Ordinary Matter, Dark and Dark Energy by Vladimir B. Ginsberg. Vladimir B. Ginsberg. It's on Amazon. Prime Element. Just remember that. Very good book. It handles what we do quite well. A lot of stuff about quantum entanglement. And there's another one, too, by the way, I want to recommend here. Real interesting. Deepak Chopra, yeah, he authorized, he's written something in here. Entangled Minds, Extrasensory Experiences in a Quantum Reality by Dean Radin, best-selling author of Conscious Universe, also on Amazon Books. So, Entangled Minds, Dean Radin, endorsed by Deepak Chopra, and I think you'll like it. I love it. It's a really cute book. You're going to need all this stuff to understand what we're going to do next around here with our inventions. Because we got some new stuff coming out. Nothing to replace anything we have, but things to enhance what we're already doing. So that's why we're spending a lot of time with this quantum stuff and the hologram. The quantum is the hologram. You know, the quantum part is the actual entanglement process that makes the hologram happen, believe it or not. So anyway, my email address is fredbell@pyridyne.com. Feel free to email me, fredbell@pyridyne.com, about topics or people that you might want to hear on my show. Because I do have a lot of fun interviewing people when they're exciting. Then we can get excited. But if they're not exciting, then, of course, it's no fun. So anyway, I guess we've run out of time. It's 55. I'm going to go out the same way I came out. I'm absolutely going to go out with a great time, and we'll see you, I guess, Friday I'll do a show. Saturday, tomorrow night, we'll have some nice cam shows like we always do. Excuse me. And then Friday night we'll have a live show, and then Hopefully we'll see you live on Saturday and Sunday. You're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, only on BBSRadio.com. Told you I was going out the same way I came in.
This is inspirational speaker Wambui Bahati, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS.com.
Do you know where your planets are? Hi, I'm Debs the Horoscopes Lady, and every Wednesday morning, right here on BBS Radio at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, I'll be answering your career and relationship questions using the Sidereal Difference. What's that? Tune in and find out every Wednesday morning to Deb's the Horoscopes Lady.
All of the rain, all of the pleasure, all of the pain, all of the diamonds, all of the